Hey, I'm Matt Jackson.
I am Nick Jackson.
You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Rantum Radio, Nick.
Rant EM.
You'll have to keep that one.
One more time, Omega willing himself to his feet. Okada doesn't see it coming. He doesn't see it coming. Trigger. Jesus. The bump kick his head off. And now. He's going to go for it. He's got him up. Oh, my God. IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, can you believe it?
Opinions and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's gotta be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
We'll be right back.
Bullets won't save you.
Suck my balls.
Suck my balls.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. As always, your gracious host, the heavyweight primate, the blue-collar scholar, the Yoda of yesteryear,
the
messiah of memories.
Yes, sir!
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your impact player, Mr. Philip G. Ray, and I am finally joined by...
the man they call Choppy, with the symbol of excellence, motherfuckers! We tie, we ain't lose, thank God!
Happy Madball Day, everybody.
Woo!
The new album is great. I spoke to Hoya today. Sent him a message. They're in Europe right now. Album dropped, well, this today, but I got it like after midnight last night. Album number 9, and it's fucking brilliant. It's a little different. It's got some punk in it. They actually do solos in this.
Oh, wow.
In one song, yeah. Tim from Rancid's on this song. Ice-T does a song with them.
Really?
It's fucking good, man.
What?
Yeah, man. So, yeah, For the Cause, it's on Nuclear Blast Records. They're doing vinyl and cassette, too. It's pretty dope.
Of course you're rooting for Spain. You're not Puerto Rico's not in it, so you have to root for Spain.
My buddy, Mike Gaines, his last name is? Galinas? I forgot his last name. I can't pronounce his last name, but he's Spaniard.
Gaines, I think it is?
Yeah, he's angry.
And, shit happens.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
And so what else happens? Ronaldo happens.
So, obviously you guys all know that I don't have a team to root for this year, because not only were the Italians bad, but the Americans were worse.
I was shocked by Italy, dude.
Right?
Oh my God.
So, obviously, now Russia, I didn't know this, but if your country hosts the cup, you're automatically in.
Correct.
So Russia got in by proxy. And fucking destroyed Saudi Arabia yesterday. I watched that game from work.
What was it, 5-0?
5-0.
Jesus Christ.
I was talking to my sister Natalie, we all know, huge, huge soccer fan. My sister Natalie, huge Messi fan, Argentina, that's her team. My brother Michael's a huge, huge Premier League and Germany national team fan. I'm a Premier League fan, I like Chelsea. And I do root for United States of Italy, but this year I don't have a team. So
you said, did you root for the United States of Italy? That's nice.
And Italy.
The
United States of Italy. Yeah, Staten Island. No. So I told Choppy before the cup, I was like, "Yo, man, I'm gonna root for Portugal," and I have a soft spot for Colombia because I have a lot of Colombian friends, and they're very excited.
What do you call it? I don't expect Portugal to go too far in this. I still think Germany's gonna. Dominant.
I like France, but I don't. You know what? I still don't get why North America does not embrace this game. This game is fucking awesome. I'm sorry, dude.
Apparently, we're supposed to be getting the World Cup in 2026.
Yeah, we're getting 10 games.
In Jersey.
Yeah, we're getting 10 games, apparently. Fucking mint. I'm there.
It's going to be super.
Even if I'm not here in New York, I'll still be there.
Could you imagine MetLife Stadium?
Yeah. Well, Giant Stadium, 94. I think 94 was the last time they hosted.
No, Atlanta hosted.
94, you sure about that?
I think it was Atlanta.
Because I know that was the year that Roberto Baggio botched a kick for Italy. Remember they lost to Brazil?
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Yeah. So, hello to everybody in Facebook land. Choppy's wife requested that we go live tonight.
Yeah!
So, I said I'll do it.
Yeah, we were going to do it anyways.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't going to, actually.
You dick!
No, I wasn't.
Why not?
But your wife said to do it. She asked us to do it. I was like, all right, I'll do it. Because I don't... It's a fucking cell phone. I want to get a real camera, but I guess it works for now.
Oh, here we go.
What?
You're going to start sounding like Nick German?
No.
You need to get a real camera here.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No.
Fuck Nick the dick. Oh, here we go. Here's our camera.
So,
All right, see? Anthony, Tony's just said 94 was the last World Cup, so...
That was us.
I want to say it was Atlanta, though.
I don't think it was Atlanta, bro. I'm telling you it was here.
You think it was New York?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not New York. New Jersey.
Well, same.
Yeah. The armpit of America.
Speaking of Jersey, I was in New Jersey this past weekend at the Shore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How was it? Did you see, Snooki and all of them down there?
No. No, I was in LBI, Beach Haven, New Jersey. And our hotel was literally right off the beach. You could walk to the beach.
Wow.
Like, steps. Like, out. Here's our hotel, here's the parking lot, and there's the steps to the beach.
Jesus Christ, 5-star all the way.
No, it wasn't, actually. My wife, 5-star, what are you, high? You know she's fucking frugal, Fanny. You know she ain't down with the fucking... She wouldn't stay with the wedding party across the street. She's picked the cheap spot down a block. Mm. The fucking place had paneling, wood paneling in the room.
That's beautiful.
It was beautiful. Well, actually, it was beautiful.
I mean, for 1980s, it's beautiful.
So let me paint this picture. So wifey's in the wedding, right? We get down there Friday night, and we have to go to this rehearsal dinner. So it's me, the hammer, and my wife. So the restaurant that we go to, Buckaloo's, it's called, right? Okay. Fine establishment. Really good food. But they do everything. They do surf and turf. They do everything. Like American style. It's really good.
What'd you have?
Wait a minute. But we had buffet, but so I'm with her friend Nick and his wife, and I'm with her crew and their spouses, girlfriends, husbands, wives, right? Mm-hmm. And some of these people haven't seen each other in like 20 years, so they're all like reconnecting, everybody's having a good time. I'm just sitting, now I know some of these guys, so we're bullshitting. Nick's a musician, so I'm bullshitting with him about music, and he works for the MTA, so we're bullshitting. I'm telling him how bad his fucking service is. So now we're hanging out, and the ladies, do you want something to drink? Now, you know, since my surgery, I don't drink a lot of hard liquor. I'll do cider. You know me, right? So I said, all right, you have any cider on tap? She goes, yeah, I have blah, blah, blah cider. I'm like, it's like some local shit from Jersey. I'm like, it can't be that bad. I'll take a glass. She brings over a pint, and I'm like a third of the way done with it. She puts another one in front of me. Now, I'm not even paying attention. I'm like, I'm bullshitting. I'm like, yeah, now the food tea, I'm serving myself, whatever. Now we're at the point where the bride and groom are giving out the gifts to the bridal party. They have a gift to the bridal party. So they're giving out the gifts, and now this lady just keeps bringing me fucking ciders.
Oh, no.
Chops, I was bombed.
Really?
Bombed. I had like 6 of them. I was bombed. And I can't hold my liquor no more. I was so bombed. We got back to the room like 10:30. I fell into the bed. I didn't pull the covers down. I fell asleep in my clothes. Half my clothes, anyway. And I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, face down, in a prone position, ooh, with drool on my pillow, and I was like, where am I? What time is it? Heavens to Murgatroyd.
I was waiting for that.
I smell sand even. Right? So, I was like, what the fuck, man? What's going on? I did stay up, because I wanted to watch New Japan.
Of course.
Right? So... one of my wife's friends who's also in the wedding party is a graphic designer, an artist, and a huge wrestling fan. So he's actually in talks with us, and I'll talk to you later about that, about doing some stuff behind the scenes with gear and merch and shit. So very excited about that. So we have some new merch coming to you guys. Hopefully it goes through.
Yes.
It's going to have a website and everything. There's a couple of designs I already got in my head.
Oh, boy.
So... be prepared for some fucking awful Turnbuckle Throwbacks parody shirts.
That's what I'm here for.
Well, that's one of them.
I'm sorry.
And my favorite one is gonna be this one.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Yes! So, if you want a Choppy's a pain in the ass t-shirt, you might be getting one by the fall.
Okay, terrific.
That's another one.
Okay, terrific.
With the big thumb up.
It's going to be great.
So, yeah, he's plugging this shit to me. Like, he's like selling this to me. And he's like, Phil, like, he had this whole, he drove from Georgia, where he lives now, and he has this proposal. Shout out to Mike Sheen, by the way. Mike's a fan of the show. So Mike's like, yo, Phil, I got this site. I got this, I got that. I'm like, all right, whatever, man. I says, if you can do it and we can get it off, I was like, that's fantastic. I'm like, I have no doubt that Choppy will have a problem with this. If he does, then I'll let you know. If not, then we're good to go. Because I like to make a decision without you, you know? So you can take that wire off the fucking, that phone wire.
Oh,
I don't want to insinuate that. I apologize.
That's okay.
So now that's going on. Now, New Japan, I wake up. So now I'm half drunk now. I'm half drunk, I'm half sober, and I'm trying to watch New Japan. It starts like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I doze off again.
Oh boy.
And I wake up just in time for Jericho and Naito.
That was a good match.
Right.
The proprietor is in.
Is Double A's in?
Double A's in. Hello, sir.
I want to talk about. Well, I called into the rant, and I was waiting for you to. I called into the rant because I want to talk about the something with New Japan. But anyway, so I had to call in and defend New Japan, even though I'm a casual fan. I'll get into that in a minute. Hmm. So I got up just in time for the Naito Jericho match, which was absolutely fantastic. It was, and let me tell you something. Chris Jericho not only basically reinvented himself, but he's doing the wrestling business a due diligence, I feel like. I feel like Chris Jericho still has a lot to offer, and with all the stuff that he has going on, for him to be in this position at his age, in a main event status, with a company that's basically in a resurgence, because like I was telling the rant guys, before 2013... New Japan was not a household name at this point anymore.
Not at all.
They weren't. I mean, they were having good matches, but they weren't drawing. They didn't have a lot of gaijin over there. The Bullet Club just started up.
I know. They did a show here in 2011, like a small show.
What, Ring of Honor, right?
It was just them.
Oh, just them.
It was just them, and it was. I believe even MVP was just the first Intercontinental Champion at that point. So. I was just like, oh, they're coming over here, finally touring over here in 2011. And then it was just that one show, and then they didn't come back until they went back to LA for the U.S. title tournament.
Okay.
So for them to have this resurgence is great. I want this to happen. We need more wrestling promotions to give some competition, to inject this new excitement in wrestling. Because, I mean, I haven't been too excited about wrestling lately until I saw Dominion.
So, you know, I'm watching the match, and I was just like, now I'm invested. I'm up now. Now it's like almost 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, what am I going to do? I have to be at this wedding later on. Like, the wedding's not for another 12 hours. Like, I figured I was going to get a nice nap. Michael was in the pool all weekend, got sunburned. I really want to send Michael to swimming classes, man. The kid loves to swim, apparently.
Good.
And he was in that pool all fucking weekend, except for the last day because it was raining. So, anyway, P.S., so now back to New Japan. So, here comes the main event. So, now I did a small solo show last week, really quick. I had something pre-recorded. I didn't want to use it.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? I was in between packing. She stepped out. I was like, you know what? Let me talk. And I said on the small show, I don't know their booking very well. I try, you know, like, I'm a casual fan. I'm not an expert. By no means am I an expert. I love it. I love watching it. I can't figure out their booking. Their booking is not like, it's not as predictable as we can call.
Correct.
Right? Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I agree.
Okay. So, I was watching this, and I was like, if he doesn't win now, like, what direction are they going to go in? So they have a 2 out of 3 fall match, Omega and I'm meaning Omega and Okada, and I said so Okada wins the first fall, and I said how dope would this be? In my mind, I'm saying how dope would this be if Omega wins the next 2 falls? They go an hour and like 3 minutes.
Let me ask you: were you expecting it to go past an hour?
No,
I was not either.
No,
hell no.
And I don't even think this was their best match. Their best match was like their second match.
I think their first match was their best match.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, the first one was great.
I mean, they're all brilliant, but like...
Yeah, the fourth one was... this past one was really good, though. I mean, the story was told... It was such a compelling story.
That's my point, and I'm going to get into that right now. So he wins the title, and now I'm like... Now, at this point, Tony Ann is up getting dressed, because now she's going for a run, and now she's going to the beauty parlor to get her hair done with the girls for the wedding party. So she comes out of the shower. She sees me sitting at the edge of my bed. And she's like, what are you watching? I'm like, it's New Japan's on now. She's like, oh, yeah, it's live? I'm like, yeah. So she sees the last V-trigger that I played, the one that he ran from across and hits him in the fucking face with the knee. And she goes, whoa. All of a sudden, now she's next to me in bed, invested, watching the rest of this match. And she was like, I can't believe how compelling this is. And I'm like, see what I'm saying? This was a story that was told for 2 years, okay?
And done brilliantly.
2 years. And it stayed relevant because both guys put on high caliber matches every single time. Now, Omega wins the belt. The Bucks come out. The Bucks won the heavyweight tag title that night. Yes,
thank God.
Right, finally.
Yep.
Against Evil and Sonata, right? And they came out, and if you guys watched Being the Elite, they had sent Kenny Omega a box to open, and he never opened it. He just kept looking at it at the end of each show, and he didn't look, you know. So the YouTube show is brilliant, by the way. The Flip Gordon Marty Scurll thing is fantastic. The Marty and Flip do Japan thing is fucking fantastic. So, you know, so now Kota Ibushi's, you know, ringside with him, and the Bucks come out. Now, legit tears, like tears of joy, like this, yeah. This is a big deal for them. This is a shoot. This is no bullshit. These guys, they're all really good friends. They're all invested. And
then to cut you off, this is a time when you win a title, and that's when you're supposed to cry.
Yeah.
You don't cry.
Yeah, Charlotte Flair.
For every fucking win that you get. This was the time to be like, all of our hard work paid off. Now we can actually cry.
Here's a guy who got written off about a decade ago.
Oh, by WWE. Absolutely.
And not by, again, it's, you couldn't blame WWE at the time because they just didn't see his brilliance. And I don't even think we all saw his brilliance.
No.
We knew he was good.
He was good in the ring, but we didn't know what he could do, you know, to draw the fan.
Correct. So here's a guy who gets written off, moves to another country, stays the country, adapts the culture, wins every fucking belt they have.
He did win, right? Everyone, I was going to ask you.
Did he win the IC title?
He won the IC title.
He won junior heavyweight.
Right after he won the junior heavyweight title and the junior heavyweight tag titles, he went for the IC title. He went for the, I think the only title he didn't win was the never open weight title.
Yeah.
He's won everything else but that.
So he becomes the eighth Gaijin to win the title.
Did you notice at the end of the show what happened?
What do you mean the end of the show?
Like, at the end of the show, almost a majority of the title holders are all Gaijin.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Yep.
A majority of the title holders are Gaijin.
That was unheard of.
Back in 20 years ago? No.
Even with All Japan, with Brody and Hansen, and those guys didn't win belts all the time.
No.
You know? So now they're all after it's all said and done. Being the elite, he opens a box and he'll break out these golden elite shirts. Right?
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes is now walking around trying to process this all. Again, it tells a story. What's going to happen with Bullet Club? Is Cody in? Is Cody out? Are the Bucks out? Is Omega out? Paige is confused. Skrull is like, what the fuck? All the OGs hate all these guys. I mean, you know, G.O.D. and Fale and Takahashi and all day. They just hate all this crap that's going on. So where's Bullet Club? What's going to happen to the Bullet Club in 2018 for the summer? What's going to happen? Like, this is, and so this story, this 2-year story that's being told now bleeds over
to other things.
Hence my call into the rant on Tuesday. So there was a meme put up about all the title reigns, the last Long's title reigns. It was Punk's, it was Okada's, and it was what's his face? Punk, Okada.
No, Lesnar too.
Len Lesnar. Because Lesnar just broke the record, or whatever, right? And he's, so their argument was Okada only defended the belt like 13 times in
so what?
2 years.
So what?
Okay, right. So what?
But he was there every fucking time wrestling.
That's what I said. If you listen to the rant, that's exactly what. Thank you very much. I'm glad you didn't hear the show. I called in and I said, and so Double is like, I knew you were going to call in. I'm like, of course I'm going to call in, because at this point in the game, I'm looking at quality, not quantity.
Correct.
I don't have a problem. I personally don't have a problem with a part-time champion a la Brock Lesnar. I have a problem with how they book Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
Okay? You can't... Mainstream wrestling doesn't have the world championship as the focal point. That's an issue. With New Japan, they don't run like other feds do. They run shows almost every month, but they don't have TV. They don't have live TV.
No, they don't have an actual like TV show. Like
no, they have like they have like a recap show.
Correct.
But it's not like a fucking.
No.
It's all the stuff from the pay per views.
Yep.
Not even pay per view. Whatever. They just stream whatever, you know, whatever. So I said no. I mean, you know, so it's. And Punk defended his a gazillion times because it was Punk and it was a schedule and
that was just it.
Yeah. So you know, I called in and I defended. I defended
Okada
because I've been saying this to you, and I told this to Scott when he was on the show with us, and I told this to Dave. I said Okada has been the best wrestler in the world for the last, I'd say, 2 years.
Correct.
Okay? Kenny Omega, number two. AJ Styles, number three. That's my top three, and that's been my top three for the last 2-3 years, right? And the guy, even though he wasn't, even when he was champion, he was predominantly in he's in a stable. So he's been in, he was in tag in six-man matches. And that's what New Japan does. They run a lot of tag in six-man matches.
I noticed that throughout the show. On Dominion show, they had a lot of tag matches.
Even like the day after Wrestle Kingdom, that New Year's Dash show?
Yes.
That's all tag, that show's all tag teams.
Correct.
That's a tradition.
So Uptown Georgie says Lesnar equals money.
Yeah.
He does, but...
He does. So, you know, is the wrestling fan... Here's the thing. Does the cat... So my question to you, because you're not a casual fan, is does the casual fan care that the belt is defended 4 times or 12 times or fucking 8 times or whatever times it is?
I don't think the casual fan gives a shit about the title because in the end, in their eyes, it's just a prop. I think the diehard wrestling fans like you... Myself, everyone on the rant, all the actual real wrestling fans have stuck through all the bullshit for the past 20-30 years. They want compelling stories, you know. Case in point, the Okada Omega feud for the past 2 years. It was a very well told story, and now we have the payoff was Omega finally getting the title. And you were right. You were like, you know what? Even though that he didn't win those other times, even after winning the G1, and then you thought, oh, he won the G1, he's going to fucking get the belt. Nope.
We all thought that.
Nope. Didn't happen.
Right.
Second time around, oh, he's going to get it this time. Nope. Third match. This is like...
I was like, he has to do it.
Nope. Fourth match. Now it's 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, but we don't know. We're still... Now at this point, you're like, who knows?
Now at this point, they got us. Now at this point, they're like... He ain't gonna win. I talked to a couple people. They're like, he ain't gonna win. He lost it 3 times. So how's he gonna win in the 4th match? Lo and behold, he won the fucking title.
I sent you a text that morning. I just couldn't.
Oh, dude.
I was beside myself, man. I was happy. I was invested.
I don't know if I was more shocked by Kenny Omega winning, or if I was more shocked that Jericho won the IC title.
That was a shock,
dude. When I saw him hit the low blow code breaker, I was like, there's no way he's getting the belt.
You know, he refuses to defend the belt outside of Japan, right?
Yes, I heard about
that. That was one of the conditions.
Yeah.
At a respect to Vince and Triple H, he won't defend the belt in Cali. When they come to Cali, he won't defend the belt on U.S. soil. Nice compliment.
If you think about it, with his IC title win from New Japan, he's a 10-time Intercontinental Champion.
That is correct.
That's in-fucking-sane.
That is correct. Before we get into CM Punk, let me ask you about Jericho. Does this put Jericho... as one of the best in the world?
Yes.
This
absolutely.
So if I was giving you like a top five, well, let me stretch it because top five is rough, but top 10. Is Chris Jericho in your top 10?
Yes. Of
greatest wrestlers?
Yes.
Hands down?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hands down.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that because I watched him in the 90s. Right. Like, if you look at his body of work from Japan...
Mexico,
ECW, WCW, WWF, WWE, and now New Japan? I mean, it's incredible. His resume is incredible. And in, like you said before, he stays relevant because he's changed every single time.
Tony C said, 4 title shots. Really? Yeah.
Yeah, really.
It just tells a bit. If you're not a fan of New Japan, if you're not a fan of anything outside of mainstream wrestling, then I feel like even as a hardcore fan, you don't appreciate what's there.
One of my favorite matches from the show was, I told you, was the triple threat for the open weight title.
Yeah. No, Michael Elgin.
Michael Elgin is the real deal, dude. Especially when he jumped over the ropes and did that helo over the top rope. And yeah. Hit those. Oh, dude, I couldn't believe he did that. That's a 300-pound man, man. Yeah.
And so, you know, I had a nice, healthy debate with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to abruptly run because Michael was getting yelled at. But I had to go break that up. But so before I left, I said to them, I'm like, you know what? This just goes to show that you have, and you and I have been saying this for a gazillion months now, that you have options. Okay, the wrestling fan has options.
Correct.
Okay, you don't, and this is, you know, we know how bad it is, and we know it's not catered to us anymore.
Not at all.
The mainstream stuff, I should say.
I don't watch, like I told you before, you don't have to watch Raw or SmackDown, because I don't. I just watch the clips on YouTube, and that's it, just see what's going on. I choose to watch NXT,
yeah,
because that caters to me and to you.
Yeah,
I choose to watch New Japan, and I choose to watch ROH, and I like to keep it like that. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. But, you know, yeah, Okada defends the belt not that many times.
But he still fought.
Right, and he told a better story.
Yeah.
And that's what I told the boys. I'm like, he told a better story than Lesnar did.
Lesnar's just a big mook who comes in there and then he just pounds on people.
No, I put it like this. I'm not calling him a mook, but yeah. Lesnar is a sports entertainer. Period. Period. Listen, the guy is not terrible in the ring. He's not.
He's not terrible in the ring. He's not. I understand that. But he's a big mook. He's an asshole. Fuck him. He sucks.
Terrific. Terrific.
He was fucking awesome 5 years ago. I mean, I don't want to see this.
I loved him in the early 2000s.
So did I. He was a monster. Yeah. I loved him when he first came out with Paul Heyman. He was great in 2002.
I don't dislike Brock Lesnar at all.
It's not that I dislike him. It's the fact that his booking has been atrocious.
And then AA was like, well, he was also New Japan World Champion, and I forgot to say, well, yeah, and he also fucking had to get stripped because he
went to Geno.
He refused to fucking defend it.
Yeah, he didn't want to defend it, so they had
because he couldn't fight their fucking style over there.
And then Angle had to take the belt off him.
Right, exactly. So
right, Angle's an IWGP champ, right?
I believe.
Does that count, or is that the third belt?
That's the third belt.
Yeah,
you know, he's so there's been 8 Gaijin. All right, let me just move this. Let me see. I have a list here so I didn't forget.
Ooh, look at you. All prepared and shit. Omega, I was busy moving.
Omega. Yeah, I'm going to get into that in a second.
Hmm.
CM Punk.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we know Punk and Colt Cabana were not found guilty of anything. Basically, Colt Cabana wasn't guilty of anything, really, because all he did was host the fucking podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So Punk was the one who said all the shit, even though Punk, you know, they found nothing wrong with that. You know, him and Punk were relieved. And I heard Colt's podcast about it. And what he did was, this is pretty smart, he taped himself after every day at court and then compiled it as a podcast. So he was like, all his thoughts going through it, like, you know, like how he was feeling. And then the last day he talks to the lawyer and gives him a hug and thanks him and shit. So, of course, now Punk doesn't make his workout because he's always at the trial.
Yeah.
And he fought last Saturday.
Oh, he got demolished, dude. Oh,
so now I'm at the wedding, right? And it's about, they're about to break the wedding up. Like, it's about to go. And, is that my phone? Yeah. So, they're breaking it up. And I was like, I told the waitress, just give me like 4 more minutes. Me and my buddy Mike were watching it at the table. And, he got his face caved in, legit. And what was worse was the guy he fought was almost as bad as he was, but was a little better, and that's why he won the fight.
Yep.
Punk is terrible. And I'm a casual UFC fan. I'm not a hardcore fan. I even forgot what weight class he was in. Like, I was like, oh, man, this is fucking bad.
Is it me, or does he look sickly at 169 pounds?
169 pounds.
He looks sickly.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm done with wrestling, and this, that, and the third. So, I was talking to Mish about this, too, the other day on Facebook. everybody, he's like, oh, you know, everybody's dogging him, you know, give him pride. And John from Wrestling Soup, you know, Draper.
John Draper, yeah.
With Draper was like, you know, everybody's fucking dogging Punk. Why are they dogging Punk for? I said, I'm not really dogging Punk. I said, I admire him for his, for wanting to do something like this. It's pretty cool.
It's ballsy.
And it's very ballsy. That's actually what I said. I said, however, part of me is selfish because I want him to go back to fake fighting. I'm selfish. I was a Punk guy. So, you know, listen, that door is always open. It's really up to him whether he wants to fix all the bridges he burned. If he wants to go that route. He doesn't have to. He can go back to Ring of Honor. He can go to fucking Japan. He can go anywhere he wants.
I think he should go to Japan.
Go anywhere he wants.
I think he should go to Japan, honestly. And now that Impact Wrestling is planning on doing a working relationship with Ring of Honor, who knows?
Who knows?
You might see him go to Impact.
He's going to be signing stuff at All In Weekend. Correct. At Pro Wrestling Tees.
And who's to say he won't be at All In? Who's to say that?
And with all his friends booking the show, like, they're all pals.
Who's to say?
They're all pals.
Did you hear what happened with Corey Graves
Twitter? On Twitter, yeah. Like, Punk blew him off, apparently.
Well, apparently Punk stopped talking. Apparently him and Punk have been friends since 2002.
Right.
Now, guys, allegedly, 2002, Corey Graves was like 18 years old. The reason I know he was 18 years old is because me and Corey Graves are the same fucking age. We're 30.
Right.
We're 34 years old. And he said that him and Punk were really good friends at that time. And then when Punk left the company, Punk said, you know, anybody that's associated with WWE, I'm going to stop talking to them. And I guess Corey felt very disrespected by that, and he went on Twitter and gave his feelings about Punk's fight, and, you know, made Punk feel like an asshole, you know? And Punk didn't... There was no response by Punk, at least I don't think there was, to Corey Graves. And I think Corey Graves wants to be relevant and wants to be a company guy, which is fine. If you want to be a company guy, good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
But you'd respond to that, you're just being a dick.
I also heard that he sent a text message to him wishing him luck, and he's like, "No, I don't want to talk to anybody who's affiliated with WWE."
Yeah, that's what.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the truth, like, if that's your boy, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like
they were boys.
That's a dick move, though.
They were boys, and then, you know, Corey was.
I'd rather you ignore me than say something to me like that.
Well, you know what? That's the way Punk is, though.
Oh no, I know.
And going back to the whole court case. I know Punk is an atheist, but he better start believing in fucking God, dude. Because God was in his when was on his side that fucking day when they acquitted him of all the charges of slander or whatever the fuck it was. Because when they said here he was not him and Colt were not guilty, he had the biggest sigh of relief come on his face.
Because yeah, the doctor was suing for like $20 million or something like that.
It was only $1 million, actually.
I thought it was $20 million or something like
that. I heard it was only $1 million.
Ah, whatever it was, a lot of fucking money.
$1 million is still a lot of money. Problem is that Colt was even more relieved than he was because he does not have $1 million.
On top of that, Colt didn't do anything.
Yeah.
What'd he do? He hosted the podcast and let his boy spit. You know what I'm saying? That's what he did. It's like, you know, when those rappers go on the radio stations and they do like the cipher, they do like the freestyle and they diss the other rappers. The host of the show is not to blame. He's just a hype guy, you know?
But you know what? Even so, I mean, like, Punk needs to be more mindful of what he says about people. Because he
does, he though? Because you just said that but you, because that you just said it yourself. That's how he is.
That's so, how he is. But he still has to be more mindful when he does like public appearances, because you can't be dogging people like that and you know, making people, you know, like, here's my thing. If he had done an RF video shoot or a High Spots video shoot, do you think this doctor would have sued him?
Probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
There's so much shit is said on these High Spots. Shoot interviews that no one ever gets any repercussions.
Yeah, but you're talking about, they're just talking about other wrestlers who aren't in a position that he was in. This guy was a medical professional, and he broke HIPAA violations by fucking texting other wrestlers about nonsense. Like, this doctor basically shot himself in the foot when the phone records came out and stuff like that. So, like, once that happened, you kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Even if Punk had a shitty lawyer, like, he was still probably going to get off, you know? I'm not a legal expert, by no means, but, you know, once I read all the stuff that the doctor didn't have and had in terms of a prosecuting case, like I was like, nah, not gonna happen.
I'll tell you what he did have. He had Jillian Hall.
She's not that good looking.
She's
dude.
A butterface, dude.
Yeah.
All she is tits and that's it. Nothing else.
All right, so before we get into anything else, I have not seen you in about 3 weeks.
Yes.
We've talked, but have not seen you. You were moving. I was taking tests and exams.
Congratulations
again. Yeah, I'm all done. I'm all caught up. I passed all my tests. I took 2 tests, and I'm up to date now. I'm thinking about voluntarily, this is stupid of me, taking another test voluntarily. To be certified as a first responder in like 40-something different states. It would be like a national registry.
I had a friend of mine who's in the business. He used to be an EMT. And he said he took one in Jersey. And the one in Jersey makes you, I think, able to...
Well, it's called the National Registry.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you could take it. And it's basically a national EMT certification. And certain states will recognize that license. You don't have to get like... Like, let's say I move to Florida. Florida recognizes national. If I move to, like, North Dakota, they probably don't. So I have to go to North Dakota's Department of Health and apply for, like, reciprocity or something. You know what I'm saying? Some shit like that.
Now, is there an expiration on the national level?
Same thing as the EMT. It's like every 3 years or whatever it is.
Gotcha.
You know? But I'm thinking about doing that. But, yeah, and I've just been caught up, and I felt bad because I had to do all these things. I couldn't help you move because you were moving, like, on a Thursday. I had to work. And I was going out that night with the people who I took the test with. I found out that day I passed it. So you moved. You're in.
Moved. I'm in the new house, and I'm still not settled in.
Yeah,
the house still like I still have boxes all over the fucking place.
Of course.
I actually put boxes outside and you know in the front of the lawn just to have it picked up. It's like a stack, maybe about I don't know 4 feet high.
Yeah,
it's a lot of boxes, man. And then I still have maybe another 20 boxes to unbox. There's a lot of shit that I didn't realize I had until.
Yeah, you know how that. I know how that goes.
Oh my fucking!
I still have shit. I have to get storage. That's how much shit I have. But you're in. You're done. And you're not that far from me now.
If I hadn't made that little quick stop before I got here, I would have been here in 10 minutes.
Nice.
It was 10 minutes.
Nice.
It wasn't that bad. I literally shot down because I'm literally you know College of Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally, there's a street called Morani Street, which is right across the street from College of Staten Island.
Yeah.
That's my street.
Gotcha.
It literally took me like 10 minutes to get over here because I shot over to Richmond Avenue. I was over here real fast.
That's crazy.
It's insane. We apologize for the motorcycles.
Yeah, we have the windows open.
Fuck these motorcycles.
It's actually nice outside, so we figured we open the windows and...
You're so gracious, I swear.
Yeah. Am I?
Yes, you are.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Logan's fine. He's getting bigger. We're actually planning for his birthday party.
Birthday party, yeah.
In August, he's going to be his first birthday,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a Wolverine style cake.
Nice.
We're going to have. Apparently, we got this. It's going to look cool. It's going to look cool.
Nice.
And yeah, and hopefully you can come. Tony Ann can come.
Yeah, we'll be there. She'll be back from Europe. I'm not going on vacation that week.
You're not.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. I want to stay because I want to go. I really want to go to his birthday party. And I have something else going on. And I want to do the pod. Speaking of podcasts, Ghetto Geek Squad was shooting for July 28th.
Okay.
It's a Saturday night.
Okay.
So it'll be myself, Choppy,
Louis
Rodriguez, my man Dooch, maybe my friend Felix. It's going to be like a thing. We're going to open a Skype up probably and get some people in there too. It's going to be fun. I'm writing stuff now as we speak for the first show. The anniversary show of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Now, here's the deal. I was going to do it, I believe, July. I got a text from a DMV. My driver's license is expiring.
Oh, so is mine. I have to go take care of that this week. I'm
good job. Thank you, DMV. Random text message at 9:40 at night.
They care about your feelings.
Apparently they do. where the fuck is my calendar on this gimmick? Hold on a second. So we were going to do the show on July the 6th, but I'm going out that night with the family.
You dick.
So we're going to do it July the 7th.
You wonderful human being.
So Saturday night will be the 6th anniversary of Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Super.
We're doing Great American Bash 1990.
Ooh, that's going to be awesome.
Can't wait. Maybe we'll have some guests in studio.
Possibly Mega Powers.
Possibly Mega Powers. Who's taking a break from the social media.
That's okay. It's fine. So
hopefully, hopefully we'll have this done. We have, next couple weeks, we have to unload this room and get that done and get the new furniture in here. Now that you're done, I'll get it finished here and then we'll be all right. What else is going on? I think that's pretty much it. Real quick, before we go to break, NXT tomorrow night. Are you busy tomorrow night?
I think I am, because I'm putting in some carpet in the house with my dad tomorrow.
Oh, so you're going to be home putting carpet in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm solo tomorrow night, so I'm probably going to watch.
Is tomorrow the show?
Tomorrow's NXT.
Holy fuck, I got to watch that.
I know.
Shit.
I know. So, maybe we can get together, I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see.
I'm not doing anything. She's going out, so she has class and she's going out. I just got a doc's appointment by your old place tomorrow. That's about it.
Okay.
NXT tomorrow night from Chicago. Let's go run over the matches real quick. NXT Tag Team Championship, Undisputed Era versus Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch.
They're going to retain.
Yeah?
They're going to retain.
Okay. Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream.
Oh, man. I love Velveteen, but I'm going to give this to Ricochet. Ricochet's going to win this.
NXT Women's Championship. This is... I have a little bit of an interest in this because that's my girl.
I know.
You know, I'm big Nikki Cross.
I don't think she's going to win it, though.
She's fighting Baszler, right? Yeah.
I think I'm going to give this to Baszler.
Aleister Black defending the championship against Lars Sullivan. I don't see Black losing at all.
I don't see it either. But I feel like a lot of fans are not gravitating to him as champion. I think it's been kind of quiet when he's on the mic lately. I don't think he's made that connection yet with the fans. I think Lars Sullivan has made more of a connection because he's just a big brooding slab of beef.
Yeah.
And he's just... I think Black Mass is going to hit him in the face and he's out. He's done. Yeah.
And my second favorite feud of wrestling in the last 2 years, Chicago Street Fight.
Oh, boy.
Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling against the Sicilian Psychopath.
Yeah.
Do they still call him that?
Yeah.
They do, right?
Mauro Ranallo calls him that.
By the way, Ronaldo's not going to be at NXT tomorrow.
So it's going to be what, Percy Watson and...
I forget the guy's
and
name.
And Nigel?
And there's a third guy. I forgot his name already. Chat room, if you can help me. I don't know.
Jerkoff McGee?
Jerkoff McGillicuddy, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano. Does Gargano get his revenge?
No, because he won the last fight, the last match.
So, do they finish it tonight, tomorrow night?
I think Tommaso's going to win.
You think so?
I think Tommaso's going to win. I can't see him get Gargano winning this.
Sorry. So, Turnbuckle Throwback, so hopefully we'll get together. Well, I'd like to get together tomorrow and watch it.
There's nothing with Adam Cole?
No.
Oh, fuck, man. We need Adam Cole on that show, dude.
Well, he'll be in the tag team match. He'll interfere.
Eh.
You know?
It's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not Adam Cole, baby!
Adam Cole, baby!
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. I think it's going to be good, man. I think I'm excited. Double A mentioned on a rant deal that it's a little bit of a weak card.
It'll be fine.
I think they'll hold up okay.
I have Mario Medina in the chat on Facebook Live, and he's saying, I hate that the Gargano Ciampa is taking away from Black's title reign as the draw. But let's keep in mind, dude, that I think the wrong man has the belt. It should have been Gargano with the title, and then Ciampa feuding over the title. You know, you remember when we went to Philly?
Yep.
Ciampa, Gargano should have won that against Cien Almas, but you know they decided to give it to Black. I think Gargano should have got the belt, and then he should have. They should have done everything the same that night, except for, you know, Gargano losing. Gargano should have won.
So we got a weekend of wrestling. We have Father's Day this Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Dad's Day to everybody, you included.
Oh, thank you.
You
as well.
Thank you, sir. I'm actually going to see Michael this year.
Oh, fuck.
I found out today.
There you go.
Yeah, Mikey's dad has to work on Sunday. So Mikey's dad actually came to the house today. He was like, listen, man, I'm going to see him tomorrow. You can get him on Sunday. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, because I normally don't see Michael on Dad's Day, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to have Michael during the day. We're going to have a nice brunch, I think, which is pretty cool. So
where are you guys going?
I have no idea. They let them pick that shit.
Where are you guys going?
I have no idea. Probably Denny's. So you want to come to Denny's with us Father's Day? You're very welcome.
I hate that Denny's.
Well, Tony and homegirl works in there. We'll have
I can't stand friends. That place.
It's not bad. I like it.
I like the food. The service is terrible.
We never had a bad place. We never had a bad service yet.
I'm surprised.
Been there like 3-4 times.
I've been there like twice, and I can't.
Yeah, no, we're going there for lunch, probably for brunch.
Enjoy.
So, all right, Money in the Bank, Sunday. We'll run down the car real quick. Daniel Bryan versus Big Kaz.
I don't give a shit about this pay-per-view.
IC title, Sean Rollins.
Sean Rollins, sure.
So I went to school with his mother.
Oh, good.
Seth Rollins versus Elias.
Seth.
This is awful. This is going to blow chunks. Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley.
This feud has been terrible.
I know, man. I haven't watched fucking Raw in like a month and a half.
I hate this fucking feud. Every time I look at the clips on YouTube, I'm like, this is dreadful. And then he had Bobby Lashley running an obstacle course just so he could attack him from behind. Stupid. Anyways, Bobby Lashley wins.
The kickoff match might be the best match of the night. The Bludgeon Brothers versus Gallows and Anderson.
Why is that the kickoff?
For the tag team championship.
That's a SmackDown. Well, it shows you. They really don't.
You know my gripe with that. No title should be defended on the kickoff show.
I agree.
All right. Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal.
Roman.
All right. Carmella versus Asuka.
Carmella.
And my plus size beauty, Nia Jax, defending the Raw Women's Championship against Ronda Rousey.
Shenanigans DQ.
DQ Ronda or DQ Nia Jax?
DQ Ronda.
DQ Ronda.
Yeah, they want to keep her unpinned, you know? And then what's the men's, and is the WWE title's being defended, right?
No.
Nakamura and AJ?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. And then the women's Money in the Bank match, who wins that?
Who are the participants again?
I don't even know. I'll tell you right now. It's Lana, Natty, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, Ember Moon, Becky Lynch, Glow Girl, Naomi. Is that her name? Glow Girl?
Yeah, yeah.
And Sasha, and Forehead, Sasha Banks.
Wow, I don't know who to pick. In a perfect world, I would pick Lana and Rusev to win both.
Hello.
But, it can't be Charlotte.
It can't be?
I don't think it's going to be Charlotte. I think it's going to be... I'm going to go with Will.i.am Morgan's girl.
Ember Moon?
Yeah, I think I'm going to Ember Moon.
I'm going to take Becky Lynch.
Okay, that's a good choice.
Because I could see her walking around with that briefcase for a fucking year.
And then fucking around with Carmella for a little bit. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. You read my mind.
Yeah.
And
Nick German just texted me, fuck Money in the Bank. I love him.
Okay, here's the men's Money in the Bank. Ready for this?
Oh, good.
Samoa Joe.
Okay.
Kevin Owens. Bobby Roode. Braun Strowman. The Miz. Your boy Rusev. Finn Balor. And The New Day.
The Miz.
Yeah?
The Miz.
Taking Finn Balor.
Taking The Miz, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
He did a fantastic job making that Intercontinental title mean a lot more than the world title, the Universal title. And I think they put him on SmackDown because it looks more believable for him to go up against AJ Styles or Nakamura.
Yeah.
As his next contender. But I don't think it's going to be him. He's going to hold on to that briefcase like he did in 2010 until he decides to fucking cash it in. It's definitely going to be The Miz because he's proven himself as a hot commodity this last year or two.
I'm taking Finn Balor.
And why is that?
I still feel like he didn't get his due after fucking having a belt for one night and getting hurt. I feel like it's either shit or get off the pot. They got to do something with him. I'm sorry. He's too fucking talented to be in the position he's in now. I'm sorry.
Did you hear what happened with what WWE did this past week, I think?
No.
They copyrighted the NWO symbol.
Oh, they want to bring it back again?
They want to bring it back. So they filed for the copyrights, and we might see a resurgence of the NWO in the new WWE. So we might see, maybe not, we not won't see past members coming back. We might see like new guys coming out of nowhere and being the NWO. So,
well, our throwback is NWO heavy.
Big time.
So I hope you guys are ready for that.
Slammery. 1998.
One more thing before we go to break. Mm-hmm. I finally got to watch the High Spots documentary through a friend of the Bruiser of Bruiser Brody.
How was it?
Fascinating.
Really?
You remember I told you there was so many guys that had a story about that night that would happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody who had a story was interviewed. Tony Atlas, Dutch Mantel.
Tony Atlas was the one Johnny on the spot right there.
That's the thing. Carlos Colon was interviewed.
Oh boy.
They took all the shooting interviews.
Oh, right. Man.
Carlos Colon, Tony Atlas, Dutch Mantel, Bobby Jaggers.
Who's Bobby Jaggers?
He was from the Rap Is Crap. Remember that?
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Remember
gotcha.
Him? Yeah, going, yeah. Right. And who else was in it? Buddy Landell was okay. was there.
He was there. I didn't know that.
Apparently, he had lunch or like breakfast that morning with Brody, and his wife narrates it. I didn't know his wife was Australian. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
And there's a lot of things I didn't know about Bruiser Brody. And now I do, but I mean, I read the book. The guy who wrote the book, Emerson Murray, he was on it.
Oh, good.
So I interviewed him. Dave and I interviewed him a couple of years ago. So all comes full circle for me, anyway. I want to try to get a copy of it because my friend let me watch his thing. So I don't want to, you know. But I got to get you a copy. I got to get a copy. I told Baz I got to because Baz wants to see it too. A bunch of our friends want to see it. So, but I might even buy it. Honestly, I may just buy it and download it. I'm seriously thinking about just buying it and downloading it and sharing it with you guys.
Okay.
Because it was that good. Like, it was fucking... Bobby the Brain Heenan was on it.
Really?
Yeah, an old clip. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Hated Brody. A lot of guys did, too.
Because he was a dick!
Well, that's the thing. It depends on who you speak to.
A lot of people thought he was a dick.
When you speak to, like, you know... What about Bill Stan Hansen? Stan Hansen loved him.
Of course.
But when you speak to Bill Apter, he wasn't a dick. When you speak to Gary Hart, he wasn't a dick. Al Perez was interviewed on this thing. A bunch of guys were on it. I didn't know how of a bond he had with Devon Erichs. I had no.
Oh, yeah.
I had
oh,
no
yeah.
clue. Mm-hmm. I had no clue. I mean, I read it in a book, but I was like, it didn't. A lot of stuff in the book didn't resonate with me until I actually saw this documentary. So, if that makes any sense to you, so I enjoyed that. I didn't watch any of the wrestling, really, honestly. Because
all I did was watch
NXT.
All I did was watch NXT, Slamboree, and Dominion. That's all I watched.
Yeah.
It was good.
Well, I watched Dominion, obviously. So, I, you know, other than that, I mean, it is what it is, you know. What
did you think of NXT?
I liked it. Roddy fought, I like his new gear. I forgot who he fought last week. Oh, man.
Didn't he fight Danny Burch?
Yes.
That was
yes,
a great
yes,
match.
Yes. Speaking of Danny Burch, speaking of England, Johnny Saint... is the new UK fucking general manager?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's I told
if you guys don't know who Johnny Saint is. Please do your homework. Yeah, Johnny Saint's a very popular.
Look, Google it.
Yeah,
Google
Johnny Saint is
he's a legend.
Is a legend. Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I'm excited about that. Espo was talking to me about Pete Dunne the other day.
Oh, dude, he's so fucking good.
Espo can't. Our buddy Chris Espo, formerly of Tattoos and Touchdowns. Chris is a. I talk to Chris almost every day. Chris is a huge Pete Dunne fan. I said, Choppy too, man. I said, me and Choppy are sold, man. That dude's gold.
That's going to be the face of NXT right there. I'm telling you,
I
man.
I hope so.
He's money.
I hope so. All right. I don't know if I have anything else. I wrote all my stuff down. I didn't watch what outside of what we talked about. I didn't watch any other wrestling.
So, well, yeah. That's okay.
Oh no, I did watch Dusty Rhodes slap Baby Doll the other day though, on YouTube.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And what did he say to Baby Doll?
He called her a Jezebel or something like that.
You Jezebel.
And they were happy for he slapped her.
Could you imagine a man slapping a woman on TV now? Oh, forget it.
Dude, that's the first thing I said when I saw it. You know, I was like, it's crazy.
If you put your hand on this $150 lid, I'll slap them lips on the side of your face.
I love it.
He co-slapped this bitch right in her face. And
didn't Tully do that to her too? How many times did that bitch get slapped?
Yeah, she got slapped several times actually. But that's it, man. That's it. We had a cool throwback for you tonight. We're continuing our 1998 theme, so I'm very happy about that. And summer is just about here. That means it's some good fucking wrestling.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, I have Central Air.
Oh, isn't that great? Me too.
It's fucking great.
Yeah?
It's terrific.
It's terrific, he says.
Okay, terrific.
Where'd you get it from?
I got it from a Negro.
Actually, I got it from a brown person. It was Mr. Ashish. He's my landlord.
I got it from a Negro.
Will you stop?
Oh, here we go.
Sorry. Hey.
You like this hat?
You better like this hat.
That's no lie.
That's no lie.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're back at Studio Live, myself and the Chopster. Feels good. I've been waiting for this all fucking week. It's been a long week. And we'll be back. We have a fucking kick-ass throwback for you tonight. So we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, RantEMRadio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from The Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
We're back.
We are back.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on the Rant.
Suck my balls.
Hello to everybody on the Rant EM Radio group page and the live chat.
Lick my taint.
Lick my taint, he says.
Yes.
Double it's A says terrific. There's going to be a gorilla. There's going to be gorilla shit all over the Omni. You remember that Dusty's Gorilla? You hear that episode that we did?
Which one was that one?
When Dusty Rhodes had a gorilla as a tag team partner? It's called Dusty's. We have it on. It's in the archives. It's,
okay.
It's called Dusty's Gorilla. Dusty gets a gorilla for a tag team partner, right? And every week he brings his gorilla out, and it's a person in a gorilla suit. And he feeds him bananas and brings the gorilla's mom for Mother's Day, and, like, it's like a month that he does this.
Oh, God.
And it's Dick Slater.
Wow.
Yeah. Later, Matt. Matt Squires is bouncing. Peace out.
Later, Matt.
Yeah, if you want to hear a cool storyline, go back and listen to it's. I forget what episode it is. It's called Dusty's Gorilla. Yeah, I got all the clips. It's fucking phenomenal. But anyway, we're back.
We are back,
and
we are live.
Yes, sir. We are. We are definitely live.
Super.
Thanks for asking, Sinner. Hey, Sinner.
Hey, Spearjacker. Hey.
Spearjacker.
Is that what you meant to say?
Yeah, that one.
Spearjacker.
So you don't have a Fuck You Wrestler of the Week, right? No.
No, I haven't really.
Okay,
no.
That's fine. I just want to make sure we're covering all bases here.
I think wrestling has been pretty enjoyable. Well, non
the wrestling that you're watching is pretty enjoyable.
Non WWE stuff has been really enjoyable.
Correct.
You hear that?
I don't know what that noise is. Is that? Oh, it might be your phone.
That's probably my phone. I apologize.
Just move it over to the side. That's all.
Okay.
Are cool. You?
I have notes.
You have? Oh, you took notes.
I have notes.
My knucker.
I normally do everything by memory. Today I have notes.
My dude. I love when you're prepared.
I know. I try. You know. That's what I'm here for.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And now here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
We are...
All right, so we're kicking this back to...
May 17th, 1998.
You're right, from the Centrium in Worcester,
Massachusetts.
Worcester, Mass. Not too far from Fall River.
Fall River. New Bedford. Even Lowell. Lowell, Massachusetts.
The Strong Survive, The Ruthless Win. It's Slamboree. WCW and NWO present Slamboree 1998.
Are they still trying to do that shit in 98?
Yeah. 11,592 paid.
That's a good crowd.
Good crowd for Western Massachusetts, yeah.
It's a good crowd.
Let's see here. Let's see. Where's my notes?
Yeah, Dick.
He said, yeah, Dick. So, about for a year and a half now, WCW has been ruling the roost. Now they're finally starting to fall apart in the ratings.
Yeah.
The E was red hot. WCW was cracking under the weight of their own mistakes. The NWO split was the focal point, obviously, of the show. Hulk Hogan couldn't be bothered to work the show.
Oh, poor him.
Right? This is also a notable fact. Eric Bischoff challenging Vince McMahon to a fight on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I remember this.
This was the sixth Slamboree of eight, if you're counting. Not that anybody's counting but me, but...
Yeah, good for you.
Good for me, right? Good for me, good for you. I'm over here now. Boogaloo. Tony Schiavone, Bobby Heenan, I Am Mike Tenay, they put a video up of Eric Bischoff reading a letter from Vince's attorney saying he won't show up to Slamboree.
Okay, terrific.
Your opening match, Choppy?
Probably one of my favorites of the night.
Fit.
WCW World Television Championship match. Fit Finlay as the champion versus Chris Benoit, the Crippler.
The Crippler. They fought in 2005, if you remember, on Velocity.
They did.
You remember that match? You know, it's funny. People talk about that match, and I forgot about it until I did the research. And I was like, ooh.
The network needs to put Velocity on there.
I think they're going to.
Dude, the Velocity matches, oh my fucking God, were they good. There's a match on Velocity, and you're probably going to remember this. John Cena versus Daniel Bryan. When Daniel Bryan was Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon, they had a fucking great match.
I do remember that. The chat room lost audio.
Well, you know what, something? Then end the live feed.
I don't know.
Do you want to end it?
I can end it and restart it.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, the chat room is live. I mean,
yeah. If you want to talk to us, go to the chat room, you mooks.
Yeah. So I could do that again, but
anyways, the The crowd was actually pretty hot for this match. They hated Finley in this match. He got so many jeers from the fans. They were chanting, "Finley sucks," and he soaked it all in. He did a good job of reacting to them. And then Benoit, I don't know. I swear to you, man, Benoit's chops in 98 where they hurt me more than they hurt Finley. I tell you right now, those chops are lethal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my fucking God. And then it was just a back-and-forth match with a lot of chain wrestling. Very well done.
Mm-hmm.
But then Finley, you know, Finley gets the Tombstone Piledriver. And it's the 1-2-3 at 14 minutes and 54 seconds.
Yeah, Benoit nearly applies the crossface, but the champ scatters to the ropes. Benoit calls for the headbutt, but stops because Booker T comes to ringside.
Yeah, yep, that's right.
So that allows Finley to dropkick him back inside. Benoit gets the 2 on a roll-up. Finley finishes him with the Tombstone, like Choppy said. Really good opener. It had the potential to be great. Would have had a better finish with less time for that Chinlock City fucking thing, but I still give it a nice rating, so...
You do the second match.
Second match?
Yeah, you take care of that one.
The second match was a battle royal.
Was it?
Oh, no, it was... I'm sorry.
It
was Luger and Brian Adams.
Crush.
Shaka Bra.
Shaka Bra.
No, this is... It's fucking Lex Luger.
It's your favorite guy. Come on.
Lex Luger against Brian Adams, a.k.a. Crush, a.k.a. Chronic.
A.k.a. Coda Crush.
Brian Adams with Vince... Vincent. Virgil.
Virgil.
Marvin
Duena is his favorite wrestler.
Yeah, honestly, this is just stupid.
Yeah. 5 minutes?
Yeah, 5:05. Vince distracts Luger, leads to a weak pile driver. Luger gets tired of his offense, powers up, wins with a shitty torture rack, and it just didn't belong in a pay-per-view. It belonged, like, on Thunder. That's what I wrote. Belongs on Thunder.
My, and the Battle Royal.
Yeah, so Ciclope wins the Cruiserweight Battle Royal to get a title shot.
This match was hot,
dude. Chris Jericho. Jericho shows up and does a ring introductions of everyone. Most of them are great. Chavo, the scourge of the Guerrero family. Damien 666, he can't afford a mask, so he uses paint. El Dandy, the winner of the Lou Ferrigno lookalike contest.
I love that.
Juventud Guerrero, the ugliest man in our sport. Marty Jannetty, rock and roll till he drops. Rock, never stop. Silver King, if he wins 12 more matches, he'll be upgraded to Golden King.
Oh, man.
Let's see what else. Hold on. I got a whole bunch of them here. Typical Battle Royal formula. Lenny Lane and El Dandy decide to have a match in the middle of everything.
Of course.
So it comes down to Psicosis, Kidman, Ciclope, and Psicosis flies over like an idiot.
Yeah.
Looking like a bad spot, dumps out Kidman. The crowd pops for Hoovy, but Ciclope, but then he shake hands and eliminates, Hoovy eliminates himself, right? Ciclope wins, removes the mask and reveals himself to be
Dean Malenko. Dude, the pop that he got was insane.
Look, that got the pop of the biggest pop of Dean's life ever.
Yeah. Dude, even Dean Malenko has mentioned it. It's like he had if it wasn't for Jericho, I don't think that pop would have been that big of a deal because he got a tremendous pop.
Shane Lynch says, all I hear is static and faint static.
All right, noise. Time to end the live feed on Facebook, unfortunately.
Maybe I fucked it up by bending this wire. I don't even know.
Yeah, end it.
No.
You're going to try it again?
I'm going to try it again. All right, go ahead.
I think that Jericho did a great job of being a heel these past couple months, and he made Dean Malenko look like $1 million. I mean... Was it Dean Malenko? I think was probably like 37 or 38 years old at this point.
Yeah,
and it was just interesting to see something as magnificent as a story being well told.
Yeah.
So now we go on to the Cruiserweight title match,
which is Dean Malenko versus Chris Jericho.
And I mean, You know, Team Malenko was whooping the fuck out of him.
Yeah, I forgot this only went like 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was because the Battle Royal. You got to remember, it was the Battle Royal, then you had Dean Malenko.
Yeah, and I forgot. Like, you just forget, you know?
But it was a very good match, even though it was 7 minutes. And, you know, Texas Cloverleaf later, and Jericho taps, and we have a brand new WCW Cruiserweight title match, Cruiserweight Champion.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the Battle Royal, this was the best booked Cruiserweight thing I can do in
storyline-wise. Storyline-wise. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Because if you think about it, the Cruiserweights get booked like shit most of the time anyway. So they just, all they want is the Cruiserweights just for good matches. That's all they want them for.
Yeah.
And then for them, for Jericho to tell, Jericho and Malenko to tell such a great story over here, that's fantastic. I loved it.
A white limo now pulls up, Choppy.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Vinnie Mac camera. security
Doug Dillinger,
head of security Doug Dillinger investigates while Tony Schiavone takes a shot at Jim Ross.
Wow. Yeah, what was up with the heat with him and Jim Ross?
I thought
they liked each other.
They probably did, but at that point it was like fucking cutthroat, dude.
It was bad.
Right?
It's like, what the fuck was the point
of that? Right, I don't know.
Was Jim Ross that bad of a human being to Tony Schiavone when...
I don't know. You know what, there's... I'd love to ask Tony Schiavone, man, because now that he podcasts and everything, I mean, stuff like this is going to come up. You know, people start doing anniversary shows like we do, and this happened 20 years ago, man. Like, I'm sure it's water under the bridge now, but, like, there was so much heat back then, man.
But what about when Bischoff told Tony Schiavone to, like, give the results of Mankind's, like, title match? I mean,
and I heard Tony didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to do it.
He had to do it, though.
Yeah.
You know.
And look, it was a bad idea. Oh, excuse me. Shit. Maybe I should have Red Bull for myself. Holy crap.
I got some monsters in the fridge. You want one?
No. I'm right.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
All right. Your next match was a Bowery death match.
Time and Dallas Page and Raven.
So, I mean.
It was okay. I didn't like this match.
For the most part. Choppy and I have been very high on DDP because this is his high time.
Yeah.
He's been getting some prolific stuff, especially with Savage the last year or whatever it is. And his interaction now is he's basically a top tier guy.
Yeah.
What people forget is that Raven also was almost a top tier guy. He was U.S. champion for like a hot second. And, you know, Raven, not a big fan of his character. I wasn't anyway. But I understood him as a character. I understood the progression. I feel like...
You like him better as Scotty the Body?
No, I just liked him better in ECW because he haunted Tommy Dreamer for fucking 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, that feud was fantastic. But the thing is, I don't think WCW knew what they had in Raven. And yeah. Then when he decided to leave, it was too late.
Well, that was my point. Like, I don't think they realized the potential that could have been.
He could have been a top-tier main event talent.
Like, he could have been going for world titles. And if the NWO wasn't a focal point, I feel like if... I don't want to blame Hogan. I'm not going to have a pissing contest about Hogan.
I'd blame Hogan.
No, I don't blame Hogan at all. I blame Bischoff because this is what Bischoff wanted. He wanted Hogan and all his friends to fucking come over, and that was it. And that's what happened, basically. That's how the company got fucking ruined. But in hindsight... There were so many guys on that roster that never got their due diligence because of the NWO. And then they even intensified it by bringing Savage in and then bringing Bret Hart in. It was like Van Piper and fucking Ultimate Warrior and Beefcake. Like, what the fuck, man?
No, it wasn't Beefcake.
Oh, sorry. It was the Disciple.
Disciple, you mook.
I'm sorry. Will Morgan's in the house. What up, Will Morgan?
Hello, sir. I was just mentioning to my friend Phil over here that I pick Ember Moon to win the money in the bank, the women's Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to Will Morgan. He's been doing some stuff on our other page for Ghetto Geek Squad. We're gonna have him on the show too, and he's gonna be our with you our official anime correspondent for the
See?
Show because none of us know about anime except for you and fucking Will Morgan.
What are you talking about? You know about Voltron and G-Force?
That's different. That's not anime.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not like that fucking shit that you guys watch.
Oh, you don't like Dragon Ball Z?
No.
You don't like Dragon Ball Super? Like
Pokemon and all of
this. I don't watch Pokemon, but you don't like
I don't.
Did you watch Ninja Scroll?
No. I did not.
You gotta watch that.
Okay. I did watch Akira when the chick shot bullets out of her titties.
You should have seen do yourself a favor, look up Ninja Scroll. It's good, because there's a scene there where there's this demon that's sucking on this girl's titties. And then the girl turns out the girl is full of poison, and the demon dies because she was full of poison. It was good. Good shit, man.
Will you stop?
Oh, I'll stop then.
Yeah, so give a shout out to Will Morgan. He covered the entire NBA Finals, which were awful, but it was soften the blow of him covering it with the boys. So,
but you want me to get a broom for you?
No. I can give a shit, really. I don't really
care. The memes were fantastic. There's one with Michael Jordan where he's just like, I didn't get swept in the finals.
You didn't.
Yeah.
No, never did. And this is why we can't have nice things. So
fuck LeBron. He's gonna move on to like the Lakers now, probably, or something. Who knows?
Oh, pass to Sadell and Tony C would probably fucking make cumsies when that happens. That's their Laker fans.
Oh God, he sucks. I can't stand.
He doesn't suck, dude.
Fuck him,
dude. He carried that team, bro.
Carried what?
He carried it.
He's not a loyal.
But he didn't go anywhere yet, so let's not dog him yet, man.
Oh, fuck him.
If he goes, then you fucking dog him.
Fuck him.
He didn't go yet.
Fuck him. I don't give a shit about him.
He's so angry. I don't know why he's so angry, dude.
Because there's no loyalty to teams anymore.
Oh. No, well, that's the whole NBA, dude. It's not just him. It's fucking Durant and all those other guys.
Fuck the NBA.
Garnett did it. Paul Pierce did it. They all did it with the Celtics. You know?
It's okay. Who cares? You don't have, like the 90s was the greatest era.
Listen, save that for the sports report. I've been preaching that for fucking years to these guys, even when he had the call-in show. And it would bring up basketball, and I'd call them up and fucking show them all up.
Yeah.
You know, as the angry white dude that hates the fucking current product. Anyway, moving right along.
The Michael Rapaport of Rant EM.
Am I really?
Yes, you
are. That's cool. I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry, Mary. We didn't mean to bring up the fact that Houston lost. And Pierce was an OG Celtic. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. But Garnett and them did go there. You know. So,
but Garnett was only there for like a hot minute.
Yeah, I love the fucking. I shouldn't really, really admit this, but I'm a closet Celtic fan because even though I love the Knicks, I grew up getting into basketball by watching the Celtics and the Lakers. So I don't hate the Lakers. I just the only team I really hated growing up was the Bulls and the Heat and the Pacers.
Love the Bulls.
Well, I loved Michael. I just didn't like the... fucking terrorized the Knicks, dude.
I loved the whole team.
He would terrorize the fucking Knicks, dude. Terrorize the Knicks.
Doesn't matter. He's great.
So, all right, DDP against Raven, death match. You want to get into this a minute? This went fucking 15 minutes almost.
Yeah, read it off. I mean, I wasn't really into the match. I got really bored of it.
All right, no problem. So, the Flock gets involved.
Yep.
And I forgot Van Hammer. And his nipple rings. Clean house.
Heavy metal Van Hammer.
Yeah. The Riot Squad comes in. They are revealed to be Kidman and Horace.
Yeah.
Wow. Horace Boulder, Hogan's nephew. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
DDP fights him off, and it's Diamond Cutter time. He catches Kidman with a great Diamond Cutter off from the ceiling. Raven plants DDT with the Even Flow.
Yep.
Plants DDP with the Even Flow, I'm sorry. Which should be the finish, but DDP beats the count. And Raven hits him with his own Diamond Cutter. Again, DDP gets up.
Yep.
Raven tries a chair shot, but DDP ducks and hits a Diamond Cutter. Both men are down. DDP barely beats the count to win. Overbooked, especially in the end. The run-ins were fine, but Raven should have won with the Even Flow. But it is
what it was.
It is what it is. Let me see here. Let me get my notes. Then they show some awful footage of security searching for Vince McMahon and Steve Austin in the back. And then your next match, Choppy.
Ultimo Dragon versus Eddie Guerrero with Chavo Guerrero Jr. in tow.
Chavito.
So, if Ultimo Dragon wins, Chavo doesn't have to hang around Uncle Eddie anymore.
Did you write that?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome.
So, let's maybe go towards the middle of the match. Where are you? Chavo gets in Eddie's face and reprimands him with a slap because Eddie's always doing that to him. Dragon pushes Guerrero crotch first off onto the top rope and kicks him down the floor to the SI moonsault. It was a very nice spot, by the way.
Yeah.
I know he's the creator of the SI moonsault, but he so graceful when he does it, man.
He just fought Joey Janela recently.
Yeah, how was that?
I didn't see the match, but I'm sure Joey Janela him. Joey Janela and him had a great match, I'm sure. Shout out to Joey Janela, by the way. The Zebra Kid, Jersey, in the house.
Yeah.
Dirty Jersey.
Yeah. So,
good match.
That was one of the highlights of the match, and then we go fast forward a little bit, and then...
he tries the moonsault into a dragon sleeper.
Yep.
But botches it.
Yes, he does.
It's a rare botch for him. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And then Eddie, Eddie grabs the ropes and reverses it around to give him the advantage to the hold. He puts his feet on the ropes for leverage, but Chavo pushes them off. Eddie slaps Chavo, and then Dragon kicks Chavo off the guardrail by mistake. He turns around and takes a brainbuster setup for the frog splash for the win.
Solid match. The crowd was dead.
Because the feud was... this. I don't like the storyline, dude.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm with the crowd on this one. It was eh.
Eddie and Chavo didn't have that chemistry until they went to WWF. Whatever.
But I think that the problem with Chavo is that he didn't have enough experience yet to be in such a high-profile, I guess, storyline.
Yeah.
I think if they had just... I think eventually if they had just let Chavo turn heel, like, at this moment...
Yeah.
And just be like, you know, because this would have been the right moment to be like, you know what, fuck the dragon. I'm tired of losing matches. Uncle Eddie's right. It's time to, like, form this tag team, Los Guerreros. But you know what? I'm glad they didn't form the Los Guerreros tag team in WCW because then we wouldn't have the great matches we had in WWE because...
Right. Correct. Yeah. Your next match is for the U.S. Good. Championship.
Bill Goldberg versus Saturn.
87-0 Bill Goldberg is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 2 months away from being world champion in the Dome of Georgia.
Yep.
They had wrestled the previous pay-per-view we talked about that we liked the match, remember?
It was very good.
Right?
It was an opener.
This was more Goldberg, I think, in this match, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Let's see. He throws Saturn around. Goldberg accidentally clotheslines the ring post. Saturn couldn't take advantage of that, though. Goldberg, again, no sells. More shit, I wrote. But finally gets the effects of a T-bone suplex. T-bone Tazplex, I should say.
Yeah.
Saturn tries to do the springboard off the chair, but eats the spear, followed by a jackhammer. Wrote typical Goldberg stuff. This is pretty poor.
I actually enjoyed this match.
It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible, but it's like, this is what you're going to get with a Goldberg match. Goldberg is going to be Goldberg no matter what, you know? He just can't do anything to change his way of doing a match.
Right.
And considering the fact that Saturn is a great fucking wrestler.
Yeah.
This is WCW's guy, so...
So now we cut to Michael Buffer. Gives an outlandish intro for Bischoff. Yeah. Obviously, Vince ain't showing up.
Of course not. And then he wins by forfeit.
Right, wins by forfeit. let's see. Your next match.
Piper as the special guest referee. It's Randy the Macho Man Savage.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Look at this prima donna Bret Hart, huh? So,
I wanted this back in 93. Sorry. That's what I wrote.
I think both guys were already past their prime. It's just... Brett wasn't really past... He was only, what, 41 at this point? And then...
I called this the paint-by-numbers match.
Why?
Because they do paint-by-numbers stuff in the early match. Like, you know, there's a little emotion. Neither guy gives a shit at this point. Like, it's just meticulous. You know, it's like, it's... monotone, I should say.
Let's also keep in mind that Savage was a very anal person about his matches. He wanted to make sure that everything was done correctly in the match. And if you messed up a spot, then it, you know, he'd get really upset. What's going on? I thought you're looking at the phones.
I'm looking at the phone. Double A said I better play the Jericho intro. I didn't play it, boss. I actually read it. You missed it.
Yeah, you missed it, brother.
I read the intro though. I read all it the intro. So I read out. I read all his big intro for the Battle Royal. So,
okay. So now, let's start it off. Bret fights back and suplexes Savage from the apron before headbutting the groin. Time for some ringside violence. I said.
Look who's in the chat room now.
Oh fuck him.
Nick, 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 Nick.
How apropos for this motherfucker to show up when I'm about to do a Bret Hart Randy Savage match?
I mean, it's fitting. It's fitting.
Yeah, sure it is.
It's fitting.
He'll fit a dick in his ass for all I care.
Listen, carry on. We have an audience here that wants to listen. Go ahead.
So, Brett picks up the steps and Hunt tries to drop them on Savage. Instead, Brett takes a ride into the steps. They fight into the crowd and brawl at the hockey boards back in the ring. Brett kicks at the bad knee and taunts the crowd. After he works the knee for a while, Brett goes back for his usual moves like the Russian leg sweep, the pile driver for two. DDT gets two as well. Backbreaker sets up for the elbow drop, but Savage moves out of the way. He gives Brett a suplex that comes off the top with a macho elbow and hits his knee, delaying the pinfall attempt. Cover. 1, 2. Hell no.
He said, hell no.
Brett trips up Savage, headbutts the groin again, and then applies the dreaded sharpshooter.
I thought it was sad. The match between these two should have been special, and it wasn't.
It wasn't. But the thing is, it wasn't a high-profile match. It was just like they just put it together just for the fuck of it.
You look back at this now, and I have a way different feeling about it now than I did when I first saw it. Like, I feel like this should have been more of a moment of a meaningful match.
Did they really go at it in WWF?
No, and they should have.
They should have, right?
Right. Brett was champion in 93. Savage was in and out, like, with the whole retirement commentary deal.
But Vince didn't want him to wrestle anymore. That was the problem.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, that match should have happened in 1993. I'm sorry.
I think the match should have been... Wait a minute, did they ever... No, they never did. I'm really shocked they never fought.
I know.
And that's why this should have been... You're right, this should have been a much bigger deal.
I know.
And it wasn't.
I know.
So, well, what was the ending to the match?
Hold on. Oh, okay, so... I'll give you the ending.
Oh, okay.
So Brett goes low on Savage and whacks Piper with the brass knucks. Savage goes to use them, but here comes Hulk Hogan. I'm the world champion, but can't be bothered to wrestle on the show, but I'm going to come anyway.
Yeah, of course.
So he clips Savage's knee, wraps it around the ring post, allowing Brett to win with the sharpshooter. That was the finish.
16 minutes and 38 seconds this match was.
That you're not getting back.
Nope. And now... Your main event.
I do have footage. I do have footage for this match.
Okay, please.
But I'm not going to play it now. Oh, okay. I'll play it during the match. Go ahead.
The WCW World Tag Team Title Match. The Outsiders, your tag team champions with...
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, baby.
Versus the Giant... And Sting.
Sting. Hey, yo. Sting.
Yeah!
Sting! 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 Sting!
Sting!
Sting! we start off with the intros. By the way.
Yeah.
How big of a pop did Scott Hall get when he walked out?
Yeah, that's why I played the Hey Yo.
Holy fuck.
The Outsiders of the Wolfpack, right?
Yes.
Giant is NW Hollywood.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But he will be.
He will be.
And Sting is just Sting.
He's just Sting. He's just there. He's just a side note.
Right, just a side note.
He was only like pushed to the moon in 97, and he became a side note in 98.
Right.
Sad.
Right. You want to get into this? Or you want me to get...
You do it.
All right. So, these three guys are heels, but kind of playing baby faces. Sting is the true face, right? So, we know that. Sting takes some lifeless heat from the Outsiders, right? Nash even works in a bear hug.
Yeah.
Giant gets the top, you want to call it a hot tag, and busts out the Hulk Hogan leg drop.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan leg drop for the two. He goes on top, which confuses the commentators, right? Even though I believe he's done it before. I think he's done it before anyway. Let's see. And then he misses the splash, right? Nash calls for the jackknife.
Yep.
But this happens. Shall I play it?
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, no. Not mattressfirm.com. I thought I had the commercial cut. Apparently, I didn't. Hold on 1 second. He went for the jackknife. And, come on. I fucking hate this shit. I didn't make an audio clip of it because I had to use YouTube. Because I was a bit... Here we go. There's the leg drop.
The Hollywood Hogan leg drop.
One,
two,
no.
Did not beat him.
What?
Did you hear the way he said it? He's like, the Hollywood Hogan leg drop.
Yeah.
Sneering at Scott Hall. The Giants seem to have a plan here.
Where's he going?
Holy smokes.
I've never seen him go up before.
Holy smokes.
History being made. The Giant going to the top rope.
That brings him to their feet. That brings him to their feet. 7'4". And nobody home.
That was fucking painful.
It looked like it hurt a lot.
Scott Hall encouraging Kevin Nash to make a tag that he desperately needs. But he can't.
Dusty putting the fucking belt on a ring apron.
Yeah.
Hall's trying to get him up.
Well, a little slap on the back. That got him up.
A little slap on the back.
He sends Dusty Rhodes over to the corner, does the referee. Scott Hall looking on as Kevin Nash.
Now he's taking down his top.
Dusty Rhodes distracting the official.
Going for the jackknife. Yeah, here comes Scott Hall in. Here comes Scott Hall. Oh,
my hell, what was that? Scott Hall just hit Kevin Nash with the title belt.
Yep.
He just hit. What a hit. He knocked him out. He knocked him out.
In front of the 10-10-10-10-3-2-1
yeah.
Fucking advertisement in the ring.
Scott Hall.
10-10-3-20, whatever it was.
Now where does that leave Sting? What is Sting to do now?
And there you see.
Sting is like, what the fuck?
The Outsiders are history.
They are.
Scott Hall's part of the Hogan camp. The
and then Scott Hall giving him the crotch chop to fucking Kevin Nash.
Laying the shirt over his back.
And he was just giving him time to suck it.
He just buried Kevin Nash under the colors of the red and black, the Wolfpack.
When this happened, because keep in mind, I was... Never thought this was going to happen at the time.
Right. You're a kid.
I was just like, fuck, what the hell is Scott Hall doing?
Right.
You were made for the Wolfpack. What the fuck, man?
Right.
And they made him stay with Hollywood, man. The fuck?
Crazy.
And his excuse was, I did it for the money. Because, you know, he said he was going through a bad divorce, and he lost a lot of money, and he needed to get money.
Well, that was the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Me.
A little disappointing, right?
Yeah.
This is not one of the better ones. This is pretty much the start of the downfall of WCW.
What was your match of the night?
Either Finley or Benoit or Malenko and Jericho.
Match of the night for me was Finley and Benoit. Moment of the night
was Jericho.
Was the reveal, the Ciclope reveal.
Yeah.
That was great.
Poor booking, I thought. Savage and Bret Hart.
Very bad placement of matches.
Yeah. Well, that was a thing with them. I can honestly move on from that depending on if I get like more than two good matches on a card, I can move away from the bad placement. It was the combination, it was the fucking the disappointment of Savage and Bret Hart. I hate Lex Luger. So anything.
And he was there for no reason.
Right. And it sucked. So, do I recommend this to anybody? If you're following the decline of WCW, absolutely. It was pretty pivotal at this point. You know, it was pretty pivotal. This was the start of it, man. For all you WCW heads, this was like, the walls are starting to crack. The NWO was splitting up to fucking 17 different factions. And
you had the Wolfpack, you had the Hollywood Hogan faction.
Silver and black.
You had the
black
fucking
and red,
Latino World Order.
Latino World Order. Fucking terrible. It was awful. Just, first of all, Bret Hart and WCW was awful, period. My opinion.
That's not his fault, though.
No, I'm not blaming Bret Hart. The guy got like $5 million to go there or something like that, apparently. At the time, he had a huge payday. I don't know what the...
Not including his merchandise sales as well, so...
Right, right. But, listen, you go where the money is, and it is what it is. Vince wasn't going to give it to him, and no. I can't blame him for that aspect. It just... There were certain guys... Like, I... Honestly, when Hogan signed in 94, I was like... When I had the parade for him at Disney and all that, I was like, this is not right. This doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. Jimmy Hart with him didn't feel right, but I slowly got into it. I was like, all right, all right. Then we turned. I was totally into it. You know, I think everybody was at that point. All the hardcore fans were anyway. So this is the start of it. So now the next couple of pay-per-views, if we do finish 98, we're going to, you know, give you the the decline of WCW. And it wasn't pretty.
No,
it wasn't pretty. You know, and the Vince took advantage of their nonsense and his explicit TNA, tits and ass type of thing. And
let's keep in mind, his main player, Vince's main players were Stone Cold Steve Austin, Big Titty Sable,
yeah,
The Rock,
yep,
Triple H.
The Game.
The Game. Well, he wasn't The Game yet at this point. He was still Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Still Hunter Hearst Helmsley, yeah.
And even, and I guess you could even say Mankind. Those were his players. The in Rock. 98, in the, yeah, The Rock.
Taker.
Oh, Taker too, yeah. And would you believe that, you know, a little violence, some cursing, some middle fingers, and some tits would draw people to watch.
When you get to beat up your boss on TV.
Yeah.
Sold a lot of tickets.
I mean, people were like living vicariously through Stone Cold Steve Austin. They didn't care about this quote-unquote reality storyline that
correct.
WCW was doing.
Correct. You know, it wasn't one of my favorites. Necessary, though. I felt when I texted you that I wanted to do it, I had that in mind. Like, you know, if we're going to do it right and just cover the whole thing. You can't just skip it because it sucked.
Yeah.
That's not how we roll here on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You know, we do it a good and a bad and the ugly. You know, it's...
well, okay. Terrific.
Know. But that's pretty much it, man.
Yeah, man.
That's Slamboree 1998. Now we're moving into the summertime for, you know, Great American Bash and all other nonsense from 98. Road Wild, Hog Wild.
I think they couldn't use Hog Wild anymore, so it had to be Road Wild, I think it was.
Yeah.
Fuck it. More like Mook Wild.
He said Mook Wild. He said Mook Wild.
That's it.
God damn it. What's wrong with you?
What?
Okay, terrific.
Bunch of geriatrics trying to think they're still young and they're not young anymore.
No. Sad.
Hogan and Savage almost 50 years old at this point.
Fuck it.
Exactly. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Mean Gene has a point.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah, see?
Terrible. Mook Wild.
Mook Wild.
Should that be the... No.
No, it's, the, that's up to you.
Can't be the name of the episode. I can't do it.
How about Slam-a-Mook?
Slam-a-Mookery?
Slam-a-Mookery.
Okay.
Slam-a-Mookery 98.
There you go. All right, I could do that. Slam-a-Mookery. That'll work.
Terrible show.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Any other thoughts? Anything that you remember from that time?
I remember being very excited for the fact that I didn't have to see Hogan on this pay-per-view.
But we did.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
He wasn't the focal point?
Is that what yeah. Okay. I mean, he wasn't the focal point, so I was happy about that.
Yeah.
I was more... I thought, like, when I saw Benoit versus Finlay for the title, for the TV title, I was like, man, maybe Benoit will finally get the fucking title already. Like...
He didn't get it for a while after that.
It was... heart-wrenching for me because I was a Benoit guy.
Didn't he win it for like 3 days? Something like that?
No, he never won the. He never won a title.
Don't he beat Sid? Didn't he beat Sid for the title?
No, he didn't win his first title. I'm not even talking about the world title. I'm just talking about he didn't win it for his first championship in WCW until 1999. Mind you, the man was signed in 1995. It took him 4 years to get a fucking title. Come on,
yeah.
He won all of his belts in 99, and then he leaves fucking for Vince.
Yeah,
he won the tag team titles with Dean. He won the United States title, television title, and then the world heavyweight title. All in 1 year.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Then he left.
He saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah. He just knew it was going to be...
I think a lot of guys did, though, at that point. Eddie, Dale, the Radicals.
But even Dean and Eddie still won something.
I understand what you're saying. I think some guys, their priorities are different. You know, like... We don't know that back then. We didn't know their backstories, like the families and demons they had and all the shit. Like, you know, we didn't know about all that stuff. We just knew, oh, guys are jumping ship, okay, and guaranteed contracts.
How shocked were you when you saw the Radicals on WWF TV?
I was fun.
I was like, what the fuck are these guys doing?
Fun.
Here?
I marked so hard for that. That was so much fun.
That Attitude Era, the 99-2000.
era. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Next year's going to be fun.
Fun times, man.
We'll cover that 20th anniversary next year of that.
Jesus Christ.
We're getting old, buddy. We're getting old.
Speak for yourself.
Buddy. Yeah, it's just true. This is very
true. I'll be 35 next year. You'll be 45.
Next year, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
At least you're not Kevin Castle's 50.
Oh, man.
He's 50, dude. I can't believe it. God bless him.
He's 50. That fucking geriatric.
Did you hear what Don Tony said? He could apply for his AARP card now.
Shaylin said she's 30. What is she next week? She'll be 36 next week.
That's right. She's a year older than me.
Yeah, but see, Shaylin's got it going on because...
No, is she a year older?
Latin girls don't fucking age.
No, she's 2 years older than me.
Latin girls don't age.
Yeah, she still looks like she's still 12 years old.
Yeah, and she's going to stay 12 till she hits about 60.
Yeah.
She's going to be okay.
When you hit 60, that's when it goes downhill for you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, you Latin girls stay fucking hot for a long, long time.
Have you ever met Shaylin?
No, but I seen pictures.
She is the tiniest little thing.
I can imagine.
She's like 4'10".
And she'll remain that until she's 60.
I swear to God. I just like, oh my God, she's so tiny.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, if I hug her, I feel like I was going to break her in half because I'm such a large human being. But she's a sweet girl. Very
absolutely,
nice.
100%.
Yes.
And we thank her for the support all the time.
Do we?
Yeah, well, we do. Yeah, I do. I don't know about you.
I'm a dick.
You're an asshole.
I am an asshole.
You're a pain in the ass.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Can we have, like, when we do these shirts, can we have, like, a picture of me, Gene, and then, like, a little comic bubble on it that says, Choppy's a pain in the ass?
We could try. I don't know how much we can get away with copyright and stuff.
That's true.
Like, putting people's images on shit. Because there's a Dusty Road shirt that's already done that I want to do, but I'll get into that. Fucking add it to the show.
Phil Ray's a pain in the ass.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Then fuck his ass, make him humble.
Oh, the Sheiky baby was watching the World Cup today. Did you know that?
Was he?
Yes, he was.
Of course he was. Iran was fucking... that was a good match, too. Iran versus... who'd they fit? Morocco?
Yeah, I ran to the bathroom when I saw that happening.
A lot of fucking Muslims on the field.
What, they were?
Yeah, Iran and Morocco. Morocco's a huge Muslim country.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
A lot of terrorist action?
I said Muslim. You're a fucking asshole, man.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Was there a lot of bombs in this?
No, there was not.
You sure?
Stop. Stop.
Were there any rugs thrown on the field?
No.
Jesus.
Bala 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 bala. Gotta stop.
Stop.
What?
Stop.
Allah's great.
He is. Praise him. He's worthy.
I love the Prophet Muhammad too.
Put that cigarette out.
Okay, I'll stop, Mean Gene.
Anyway.
Anyways.
You ready to get out of here or what?
Yeah, sure, if you want. I don't fucking care.
Do you want to do anything else?
I don't know. Do the fans have questions? I don't know.
You guys have any questions for us before we go? Anything tickling your tits?
My nipples are very tickly.
Yeah, well, you're outdoors all day, so.
Yeah.
What set are you on now?
So we're wrapping out Strangers, mm-hmm. Season 2, which is going to be streaming on Facebook.
Nice.
And then I move on to the 7th season of Elementary with Lucy Liu and John Lee Miller.
Speaking of Elementary, we're watching Sherlock.
With Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that's really good.
It's a fun show.
Is it on Hulu?
It's on Netflix.
Fuck.
What?
I gotta get my Netflix account back up if I gotta watch that.
I'll give you my Netflix account. I'll add you guys to it.
Hey, Nick the Dick, do you have a question? Or are you just going to say good evening, gents, on the chat room over here?
Shaylin said you're a savage.
Me? I
am a savage, yeah. Give you a nice little pile driver there. Yeah.
Jesus. Do you think someone will cash in at the same night?
Who?
Money in the bank? Yeah, Choppy did say that someone's going to cash in money in the bank the same night.
No, that was Nick German. Nick German said that Charlotte.
Nick said it. Okay.
Nick said it, Charlotte wins, and then she cashes in on Nia or Rondi.
Yeah, Nick said it. So thank you, Nick. Credit to Nick. I thought you said it. But you read Nick's text message. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
There's a little bit of a delay on the Facebook Live sometimes. Yeah.
Is that my TV? No, it's outside.
I can't tell. It sounds like a church music.
Yeah, wifey's not watching. Wifey's watching. I don't know what the hell's that. What the hell was that noise?
It's the TV.
Oh, TV?
Yeah.
What the fuck is she doing out there?
She's watching TV.
It's loud. Was she deaf, that fucking maniac?
We're loud, too, so that's probably
this
why.
This is true. Maybe we are too loud for her.
Because I laugh like an asshole, too, so.
This is true, man. This is
I enjoy laughing.
We do enjoy laughing
I enjoy also farting, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, remember that one time I farted into the microphone? Yeah.
Yeah. And it hasn't been the same since.
Too bad. It's mine.
What will you guys be doing any more fantasy booking episodes?
Of course. 100%. Yeah, of course.
100%.
And we have a lot in my mind.
Yeah, we have a... Choppy's got an idea for a show, but I told him we have to work on it. He wanted to do it next week, and I said you have to work on... back to those top 10 lists again of, like, the greatest matches, and I have to... Listen, here's the deal. Like, I'm conflicted, because if you ask me what my 10 favorite or 10 best matches are... They're going to be, like, my favorite matches. They're not going to be...
Yeah, they're not going to be, like, the...
The best technical...
Yeah.
Because there are a couple of matches that
it's the matches that actually drew the fans to watch.
Well, that drew us to wrestling. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a couple of matches that I probably would say, and you guys would be like, what the fuck is wrong with him? But it's a time period, I think, that would... That, and if I say it, then you guys will understand why.
When I do my list... I'm going to base my list on the matches on my list are going to have one of three things. Did they make a new star? Did they have did they draw fans? Or were they technically sound? Those are my three points that I go for most of the time.
My only criteria, and I'm more loose than you are with this, because my only criteria is the emotion of it.
Yeah, the story.
Like something that I can watch now. 20, 30 years ago and be like, from 20, 30 years ago and be like, wow, that's fucking fantastic. You know?
Like, I can still go back and watch Flair and Steamboat at Chi-Town. I was about to
say that. Chi-Town or, yeah.
I can watch it anytime.
That's on my list.
It's a good match.
You know? I would go as far as saying even the Terry Funk Flair match.
From
Clash.
The I Quit match? Yeah, that was good too.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's a couple Flair and Dusty from Starrcade.
Yep.
You know?
My cage match that they had also was really good.
Yeah.
For the world title. I think Dusty won his third world title now.
The Bash, yeah. 86.
Yep.
86. You know, there's a bunch of matches, man. There's so many that I love.
I've seen so many matches. It's like...
Like Misawa versus Kobashi, any of those matches from the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, Bam Bam versus Brett from King of the Ring is one of my favorite matches.
That was good.
You know?
I just saw that not too long ago.
Shanlin said she would have rebooked Hogan versus Flair.
Of course. I think that was the match that was supposed to happen in 92, and then they were like...
I saw it in 91 in the Garden.
And people were cheering for Flair.
Of course they were.
Because they hated Hogan at that point.
But in WWE, yeah, of course, Shanlin, that would definitely do that.
Not in WCW.
No. They could have had a bigger...
Much bigger deal.
Spectrum on that, but they just incorporated Taker at the time. They were pushing him, and the whole Sid Justice thing was a deal back then too.
Yeah, but you also got to keep in mind. I honestly think the reason they go with the whole Hogan versus Flair feud was because you jack off to MSG. You jack offs cheered for Ric Flair, and then they were like, "Well, we can't go with Hogan anymore, so we can't go do this feud anymore."
Oh, Nick's asking about that picture he posted today about the Steiner Brothers picture.
Yeah, the tag team title one?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's this question?
We still haven't found out where the Steiner Brothers cover picture was taken. Does Choppy have any ideas? I tagged Tom Buchanan because he was around at that time, and he gave his piece on it, but he thinks it's, you know...
That looks like... Is it just me? They're outside, right? If I'm not mistaken?
I thought it was WrestleMania 9, but it's not.
I thought it was SummerSlam.
Yeah, maybe.
Because SummerSlam was outside, wasn't it? Wembley Stadium.
They weren't in WWE Wembley Stadium. They weren't in Fed Dep.
That was 92.
No.
Oh, that's 93. You're right.
Yeah, but they weren't. Sorry. Yeah, that was LOD and Nasty Boys, yeah, and Demolition. Sorry. Yeah, that was when the Road Warriors came out and helped the Hall Foundation.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Copy you.
Did we have? We did. I don't think I ever did that SummerSlam.
You never did SummerSlam 92?
I don't think we did.
We gotta do it.
Yeah,
I wanna do it.
We'll do it this summer.
Yeah. That was a good fucking pay-per-view. The main event was fantastic.
Should we do that for the throwback?
Why not?
Or we'll do Great American Bash.
Do SummerSlam 92.
Yeah. I don't know. I really Sting and Flair, though.
Yeah, I know. I know it's Sting and Flair.
We could do both, but not the same day.
No.
Maybe we'll do it that month or whatever. Maybe, yeah. Maybe we'll do SummerSlam 92 for my birthday weekend.
Sounds good to me.
You know? That sounds like a plan.
Because you have what? It was Royal Warriors versus Money Inc. Wasn't it?
A Davey Boy versus Brett.
Davey Boy versus Brett for the main event.
What was the world title?
There was no world title match.
Oh, there wasn't.
I think it was. I think it was Macho and Ultimate Warrior.
Maybe no. That was SummerSlam. That was when the King and he cracked the fucking. That was with Sergeant Slaughter and he cracked the scepter over Warrior's head.
No, I'm saying I thought it was Macho and Warrior tagging together as the Ultimate Maniacs.
I'll tell you right now. Hold on.
Yeah, please.
I'm gonna pull it up. You said 92, right?
SummerSlam 92.
Bum, 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 bum. Was Mr. Perfect on that call?
Yes, he was. I think bum, he was.
Bum. It was from... Yep, Wembley Stadium. Let's see the results. Let me see. It was Bushwhackers versus and Duggan versus the Mountie and the Nasty Boys. Papa Shango against Tito Santana. LOD versus Money Inc. Nails versus Virgil. Rick Martel versus Shawn Michaels.
That would have been...
That's when Sherry got beat. She took a nasty bump in that match.
Yep.
Natural Disasters versus the Beverly Brothers with the Genius. Shout out to the Genius. Crushing the Repo Man. The Warrior defeated Warrior versus Macho Man by countout for the world title.
That's what it was?
That's okay. Undertaker beat Kamala. Tatanka versus the Berserker.
Okay.
And the British Bulldog versus Bret Hart headlined.
Huss!
John Nord. Rob Domingo's in the building.
Is he really? Hello, sir.
Thumbstickninjas.com.
In the house.
Rob was in Chicago. I think he still lives in Chicago.
Did you see the size of that slice that he took?
I'll be eating that slice in several weeks.
Let me know how it is.
It's a deal from what I hear.
I heard a lot of conflicting reports about.
So Rob said it's a deal. He said on Facebook it's not you can't compare their pizza to our pizza.
It's different.
Right. So I think he's back. Welcome home, buddy.
Oh, he's back home. Okay.
Yeah.
Joey Numbers from Wrestling Soup said that he said that the pizza from Chicago is like eating a calzone with the top taken off.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I want to try it still.
Yeah, man. I'm sad you're not going to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
I'll be there in spirit.
You will be there in spirit. Actually, you might be on... I might be doing a podcast from the hotel room, so you might be chiming in on Skype.
Okay.
But yeah, I am... We're all in. He said it's like a casserole.
Really?
It's that big, yeah.
I got to try this out now.
But awesome, he said.
Okay.
So...
I mean, he's the connoisseur when it comes to pizza.
Well, he's a fucking New Yorker. It's by proxy if you're a New Yorker. Well, technically you're not a New Yorker, but you've been here long enough to appreciate that we have the best pizza on the planet.
I agree.
No disrespect to Jersey, but
Jersey has shitty pizza.
They have good pizza there too, though. That Matt's spot in Summit, not because Matt and his wife worked there, but that place in Summit.
Oh, I heard that place.
Dude, we had dinner there. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And Matt's got the brick oven. Like, that's good shit, man.
The thing about Jersey is the water, man.
The
only problem is the water. If it wasn't for that water...
But if you can do a good brick oven in Jersey... If you can do a good brick oven anywhere, the water element is out of it because the crust is so different.
Yeah.
But when it's regular crust, then that's a water issue. That's why New York has the best pizza. You know? You can't beat it. Sorry.
No. I agree. Why do you think I go to Nona's that's like down the road from here? Nona's has some really good pizza over there. I love their pizza.
The hardcore band Sick of It All was recording over here a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they had Nona's.
What do they say?
Well, they loved it.
Of course.
And Jeff from Enrage was... And funny because Jeff didn't know that he... Because he's doing backup vocals on their album. And Jimmy Ferrari from the Brooklyn Blast Furnace did the podcast from the studio. And he ordered pizza. So Jeff's on a diet. Jeff lost like 100 pounds. Jeff's like, you know, he mentioned that they had pizza in the studio. He didn't touch it. So I wrote on Facebook, I was like, I have it on good authority that you guys ordered several pies from Nona's. And he wrote back, yes, but I only had one slice. I'm like, yeah.
It's good, man.
Fucking Nona's is the truth, man. The truth.
This is how I see pizza. Nona's,
we should get Nona's tomorrow.
Nona's, well, I'm on a diet right now. I can't.
Are you really? When did that happen?
Monday. I've actually dropped 5 pounds from this diet that I'm on.
What kind of diet is it?
It's called the keto diet.
Oh, Dan Lopez's wife is doing that.
It's good, dude. It works.
Was just all meat, no carbs?
All meat, no bread, no pasta, no rice, no.
So we're not gonna have snacks tomorrow?
Oh, I'm not having it, dude.
Okay, so I'll eat your snacks for you then.
I'm sorry.
Nah, don't be sorry. If you gotta lose weight, you gotta lose weight. I should go on a diet soon, but I just don't know.
I'm telling you, if you like meat like I do.
I like meat, but I can't. I don't know. I'm a carb guy. Like, I love bread. I love crackers. I love chips.
The first two days on this diet, I was like having the shakes because I wanted bread. But then afterwards, I don't even need it anymore. And then that's another thing. I haven't drank soda all week.
Yeah, I've been off the soda. I've been drinking iced tea.
I've been drinking like the green tea from Arizona.
Yeah, I do. I have the Arnold Palmer, the half and half. I have the powder.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I've also been drinking like a gallon of water a day.
Nice.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, so now you're dropping that water weight first and see how it works out after that.
Yeah, no physical activity, just just doing the diet and just going to work. That's it.
All right.
Once I drop like 20 pounds, then I'll
do
physical activity.
All right, so no pizza for you then, I guess.
No, sir, I'm sorry.
Damn it. All right, we'll figure it out.
It's going to be great.
We'll get you some meat snacks. Maybe we'll get you some weenies on a stick or something.
I can't have hot dogs, but I could definitely have wings.
Oh, we can get... Wait a minute, it's breaded though.
Not all of it. It depends on the place you go, because sometimes they don't bread the wings.
All right, so we'll get wings tomorrow. How about that? Either I'll go to you, you come to me, we'll get wings.
We'll figure it out tomorrow.
We'll get you some naked wings. All right, that'll work. So NXT tomorrow night. Maybe we'll record something, I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. And I think the phone just died because the chat. My phone was dead.
That's okay.
The camera's dead. I think that's it, man.
That's it, man. Let's get going.
Let's wrap this shit up. Play some more Madball, and I'll be all right. All right. So thank you, everybody, for Facebook Live tonight, hanging out.
Thank you, everyone.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
As always.
Thank you.
Join all the social media stuff, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, RantEMRadio.com, all the shows there, all our friends' affiliates. Thursday's Surface Comic Book Show, Tuesday's Shining Wizards and The Rant, Thursday's Rant and Wrestling, and Friday's Back with Us again. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, get all the programming there. And we had a birthday this past week, Garifo's birthday. So
happy birthday to Mikey, too.
And my son Michael had his 11th birthday. Yeah. We're celebrating July 1st, I believe it is, somewhere. Okay. So, all
right.
So we'll let you know about that.
Sure.
And
it's going to be terrific.
Okay, terrific. That's basically it, man.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the crowd, don't get arrested.
Oh, you want people to get arrested?
No, I don't want people. Don't get arrested, I said.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But, yeah, anyway, we're done, man. Have a great rest of your week. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, go fuck yourselves.
What's wrong with you?
Everything.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight and fuck you.